This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Let's go, man.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Who found a better way to mortgage so that you can focus on making your new house your home? Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Coming up this hour on the show, Mitchell Trubisky went from toast of the town to getting booed as a Halloween costume. We'll discuss coming up here in about 17 minutes from now. And is Jim Harbaugh already looking for ways out of Ann Arbor? That's also coming your way in just a couple of minutes. But let's start with the World Series last night. The Washington Nationals are one of the biggest World Series underdogs in decades. This is the largest World Series underdog since 07 when the plucky Colorado Rockies faced the machine of the Boston Red Sox and got swept. And it was not a series. And the Nats deserve more respect than that. The Nats have maybe the two best pitchers in this series in Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg. As good as Gerrit Cole has been, and as Hall of Fame worthy as Justin Verlander's career is, you could make the argument that the two best arms in this series are Scherzer and Strasburg. Scherzer went last night against Gerrit Cole. And Gerrit Cole lost for the first time since May 22nd. You've got to go back a full 5 months to the day. 5 months for the last time the uber-dominant Gerrit Cole had lost. And the Nats have taken game one on the road and shifted all of the pressure to the Astros, who absolutely got a win tonight. Charlie Slows on Nats Radio. Juan Soto had himself a night, 20 years old. Home run, drove in three, and Washington gets the victory. To get it on the road in a game against Gerrit Cole and for the Nats to get no respect whatsoever. They are playing with house money and they're loving life and they're playing like it and they're playing happy and excited. And it doesn't mean that they are flawless because you saw what happened when they turned to the bullpen. Scherzer was taxed. He was overworked. He was at 120 pitches. They had to turn over to Patrick Corbin, their game three starter. And now, pray that the bullpen holds on to it. But they did. They did. And however it came out as a W, you will take it. A squiggly W, if you will. A curly W, as they say in the district. And now the Astros have to get game number two because you can't fall behind 0-2 having thrown Cole and Verlander going back to D.C. for 3, 4, and 5. Can't do it. That was a crucial game for the Nats to put pressure on the Astros. And let's see how Houston handles that. I think they'll handle it well. They've got a wonderful lineup. They've got a great starting pitcher on the mound. But there's a part of the invincibility about Justin Verlander that's kind of been taken away by the way that he lost in game number 5 against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. Granted, he really settled down after that really ugly first inning. But in the postseason, you can't really have those first innings. That was basically his worst first inning of his career, and it happened in a crucial, awful spot. So you can't go into tonight thinking that there's no way you can get to Verlander. The Nats, though, have shifted the pressure to the Astros across the table. And that means the world of difference to an underdog. How do you take out a favorite? How do you beat the bully? You land the first punch. And you put them on their heels. You don't let them get comfortable. And that's exactly what the Nats did last night. And if the Washington Nationals win this World Series, you can look at Ryan Zimmerman's home run in that second inning as an absolute turning point. Because at 2-0, it looked like it was going to be an avalanche. You had Cole on the mound. Astros win easily. They've already put 2 up against Scherzer. And it looked like all the at-bats were shaky that were coming for the Nats. And instead, Zim settled everything down with a home run and showed, hey, we can get to Cole. And without that, I don't know how much confidence there was going to be in that lineup. The oldest tenured National gets to Gerrit Cole, makes him look mortal, and the rest is a Nationals win. There's something scary about a team with absolutely nothing to lose and no expectations and just riding it. There's something scary about that, and the Nats proved that last night. I do wonder about pitching Corbin last night in relief. He's now got to come out for a big-time game number 3. And they say, well, it was just a natural throw day for him. Yeah, but throwing in the World Series, getting outs in unbelievably stressful situations against those batters is not your normal throw day. So what's he going to look like coming out and starting in game number 3? Is he going to have it all? Is there going to be a short hook? Is he going to be a little shaky? I mean, I'm not going to argue the win because you've got to get the win, and we've seen A.J. Hinch do this on one side. Now Martinez does it on the other side. Get the win however possible, and you live to see another day. However you get the W, don't even think about tomorrow. Just get it. By the same token, let's see if Corbin is compromised going into game number 3. But that's a great win by the Nats, and it's impossible not to like this Nats team because they're not supposed to be doing this, and they're doing this. Beat Gerrit Cole in game number 1 on the road. How's that for a how do you do? Jim Harbaugh already with rumors circulating around him that he's looking for a way out. The Michigan Insider received a copy of a letter that Harbaugh penned in response to a report that Harbaugh's representatives were looking to get him back to the NFL. Quote, I am reaching out to let you know that the recent claims that I am pursuing an exit strategy are total crap. It's an annual strategy driven by our enemies to cause disruption to our program and to negatively recruit. By the way, I don't even have an agent or a representative. All right, so let's pick this apart here. Number 1. Harbaugh is going to argue that I don't even have an agent. I mean, he might not have a formal agent under a retainer that he pays 10% to every week or every 2 weeks or every month. But you can't tell me he does not have a representative. You can't tell me that Jim Harbaugh makes all the calls himself. You can't tell me that Jim Harbaugh doesn't have anybody working on his behalf when he lands the Stanford job. Or the Niners job, or the Michigan job. It's not like, hey, we're interested in hiring Jim Harbaugh. Well, just email him. It's coachharbs@gmail.com. Yeah, just shoot him an email. He'll respond. Oh, cool. Here's his phone number. Yeah, work out the money yourselves. Not how this works. Not how big-time college coaches get hired and fired. Number 2. Would it surprise anybody if Jim Harbaugh is saying, We've hit our ceiling here in Ann Arbor. Ohio State has lapped us. I can't beat the Buckeyes. We can't beat the elite teams. This is harder than I thought. You know what? Time to go back to the NFL where I will have good options. I mean, look around the NFL. Look at some of the bozo coaches employed. And even though Harbaugh has not lived up to the potential and the expectations in Ann Arbor, Harbaugh still has three NFC championship games underneath his belt in the NFL. And Michigan still is a ranked team. They're not going to beat Ohio State. They're not going to win Big Ten championships. But if you're looking for going from Loserville to Winnerville, hey, you will take if Harbaugh gets you to 10-6 every year. Hasn't there always been the Stephen Ross, a Michigan guy, enamored with Jim Harbaugh rumors? Maybe they give Brian Flores the zig after the season and say, Harbaugh, come here. We went 0-16 or 1-15. We'll take 7-9. We'll take 10-6. You don't have to win the Super Bowl. We just want to be competitive. That's where Harbaugh still has a selling point in the NFL. And it wouldn't surprise me at all, considering Harbaugh's jumped around every 4 or 5 years everywhere that he's been. He's got to see the writing on the wall. Michigan fans are not getting what they were promised, which is Big Ten championships. You could survive without too much heat if you were in the playoff winning the Big Ten. If you could beat Penn State, if you could beat Ohio State, if you could win the Big Ten and go to the college football playoff, but that's where you get beat by Alabama or that's where you get beat by Clemson, that'd be one thing. But you can't not face criticism if you're only going to beat Northwestern and Illinois and Purdue and Nebraska, Rutgers and Maryland you stomp up on, but you can't beat Penn State, Michigan State, or Ohio State. That ain't going to fly. And with all of the talk that Harbaugh does, and with all of the attention that he wants to bring, he loves it. It's so funny for Harbaugh to say, this is what our enemies do. This is driven by our enemies, causing disruption. Hey, I'm not going to put anything past anybody in the Big Ten in college football coaching. It can be a dirty business. But knowing Jim Harbaugh's reputation and history and seeing how it's clearly hit the ceiling again, because, again, can't be Penn State. Again, lost to Wisconsin badly. Again, is going to lose to Ohio State. How could you not think that Harbaugh might be testing the waters to see if there's a good NFL job lined up? How could you not think? That seems more logical than him digging in and saying, I'm here for life at Ann Arbor. That seems far less likely. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter. DA on CBS. When we come back, Mitchell Trubisky is so unpopular, suddenly in Chicago, 8-year-old boys are being booed. I'll tell you what that means coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
I'm sick of the Dallas Cowboys. If they see you at McDonald's, they shouldn't even want to serve you. Say, you're the one gave us them 6 packs. We ain't got that. We ain't got no more food.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
You bet you're making tacos, because if you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
21 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. The DA show can be watched every single day at watchda.com. Again, that's watchda.com, available for free. Watch us, because we're on TV for the kids on any device. Watchda.com. Hemsky in Tucson tweets, is Mraz eating more to keep pace with Danielle's pregnancy weight? Does he have pregnancy cravings as well?
That's the problem. She hasn't had any.
And so you're the one eating everything.
Yeah, like she hasn't. I haven't been once sent out like, oh, I'm really in the mood for this. She's just going with the flow, whatever's around the house. And here I am being the dog.
Hmm.
I think I got them. I got the cravings.
You've got the cravings.
Yeah, I don't know. My luck, of course.
But the thing is, I think the cravings don't... I think the cravings come from the body needs extra nutrients because it's carrying a child.
Yeah, but the baby's half mine, so what it's craving, I would feel.
But she had the baby inside her body. What you're doing is you're just stress eating.
I get what you're saying scientifically.
Uh-huh.
But I'm still around the baby and around her. There has to be an energy. Kind of like Bluetooth transmissions.
Ah, right. You're getting the Bluetooth pregnancy cravings.
Correct.
Here we go. Where does this lead?
How else would you explain me getting them and not her? It makes sense.
Well, because you like eating a lot, and you now are nervous about having a kid, and so you're becoming emotionally attached to having to eat to get yourself through this.
Cheese balls. Who needs therapy, huh, when you show up to eat work here?
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Jim is in Virginia, listening on 93.3 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, how are you, man?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I got to chime in with you, and I got to and comment question, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lifelong Miami Dolphins fan. I'm a transplanted Floridian living in Lynchburg, okay?
Okay.
I want him in Miami.
Okay.
Okay. He was propositioned by Stephen Ross before he took the 49er job, and he opted to take the 49er job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And bottom line is, I want him in Miami, and I want him to bring his peoples in. Because I have no faith in the general manager, Chris Greer.
Well, look, how can you have any faith with what you're seeing in Miami except for the plan? I think the plan's a fine one. Collect your draft picks, which they have. Trade away your stars. Trade away your good players to collect those draft picks. Lose, you draft high, and then have, kind of like the Astros have done to build their monster, the Cubs did as well. The Sixers, to a certain degree, collect all those draft picks, draft well, build a winner. Now, the thing is, in the NFL, we don't have a lot of evidence that it works this way. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys did build their dynasty based on the Herschel Walker trade and collecting a lot of picks. But it's not like this happens a lot where a team loses badly, then suddenly drafts well and becomes a winner. These are rare instances. So the Dolphins at least have a plan. Do you trust Chris Greer as the GM and Brian Flores as the head coach to execute said plan? Look, I think Harbaugh would be an upgrade over what they have there right now, but you have to realize that Harbaugh is difficult to work with. Harbaugh sometimes talks a big game, doesn't deliver, and that Harbaugh is not going to be around very long. That Harbaugh is a 4 or 5 year fix. That's what he's done every step of his way. And if he's going to leave Michigan right now, he's going to do the same exact thing. Come to you for 4 or 5 years and then leave after that. Now, that might be fine because you might say, look, as long as we are not 1-15 and 0-16 and we get to 9-7 and 10-6, I will take that. You know, Harbaugh for 4 or 5 years is good enough for me. And I don't blame you for saying that. But you just got to be careful what you wish for with Jim Harbaugh because he has proven that everywhere he goes, expectations go through the roof. And ultimately, at the end, people leave disappointed. I mean, the Niners ultimately were disappointed. They never won the Super Bowl. It got ugly by the end. Stanford, you know, there's only so much you can do. But at Michigan, if he leaves, when he leaves, it's going to be disappointment. Yesterday, we had Sam Monson join us from Pro Football Focus. He is their NFL insider, NFL analyst. And I asked him about Mitchell Trubisky because coming into the season, following a 12-4 year last year, the Bears win the division. They have a home playoff game. Of course, they lose the double doink. But coming into this year, people expected more from Trubisky, another year in the system. Matt Nagy, an offensive guy Andy Reid was going to be able to get more out of him and that the Bears were a true Super Bowl contender. And now they're 3-3, and Trubisky is terrible. Not okay, not underwhelming, but terrible. And was really atrocious on Saturday, or Sunday rather, against the Saints defense. So I asked Monson, what's the deal? What do the stats say? Does Trubisky have any hope of putting this all together?
He's never graded well at PFF. Now, he's definitely taken a step backwards, but even when the numbers were excellent, his grade was not good. So this season, his PFF grade is 45, but even last year, it was 63.6. The year before, that's 66. Now he's taken a big step back, and you know his offense has had to change to try and prop him up, and it hasn't been able to, and he just looks worse and worse. And the system is getting worse and worse around him as it tries to prop him up. Yeah, I don't really see a clear path back for Trubisky. It would take a massive off-season reset and rebuild for him to come back and be the player they thought he could be when they drafted him. But at this point, they need an alternative because there's no way you can run into the 2020 season with Trubisky as an unquestioned starter and no competition.
And that's an interesting idea. Trubisky missed a couple of weeks this year with a shoulder injury, which looked really bad when it happened. So you got to give him a little bit of leniency there. And you have to also say he's a third-year quarterback, and maybe he was overdrafted at number two, but doesn't mean he can't build and grow into something more and that he's still young. He was only a one-year starter at UNC, so there's room to grow here. That's all fair. I think that's fair to Trubisky. But what is also fair is what Sam Monson is saying. You can't go much further with Trubisky being the unquestioned starter. And forevermore, he will be compared, fairly or unfairly, he didn't make the draft pick, but to Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, who were drafted after him. And he is always going to look bad. He's always going to. So how mentally strong is he, considering he's always going to be compared to those two and never live up to those expectations? He's never going to be the number two pick in the draft. He's never going to look like that. He's never going to look better than Mahomes, better than Watson. He doesn't have that ability. How strong is he? How tough is he? How good is he? I got my question marks about all three of those things. And I think Monson's right. That depending on where this season goes, I mean, unless it ends up in the Super Bowl, but that feels highly unlikely, that you really can't go into the season next year with Trubisky as the unquestioned starter. He needs to win the job. You need to bring somebody in to compete for that job, but he needs to show that he doesn't just get handed the starting reins. And I'll tell you, I can't remember the last time somebody went from steak to dog food overnight as quickly as him. Last year, the Bears go 12-4. He's starting a divisional playoff game or a wild card playoff game with a division championship. They, of course, lose, and everybody blames it on the kicker. Everybody. Ignoring the fact that his postseason game against the Eagles was terrible. So everybody blames on the kicker. Trubisky comes into this year, and Bears fans flock to Vegas to put in their bets. Bears going to the Super Bowl. The Bears. Trubisky, Dubisky, Mitchell, Trubisky, MVP, NFL MVP Super Bowl. The Bears. And the city of Chicago is gaga over the Bears and over Trubisky. And things have gotten so bad in six games that last night, at the Blackhawks game, there's an 8-year-old boy interviewed in the Jumbotron in between periods. And the reporter says, who's your favorite Chicago Blackhawk? And he says, Jonathan Toews. And then the reporter says, are you excited for Halloween? And the little boy says, yes. And the reporter says, what are you going to go as? And he goes, Mitchell Trubisky. 8 years old. The United Center boos. They booed They booed an 8-year-old kid that wants to be the Bears quarterback for Halloween. Ah, this kid doesn't know what he's talking about. He should be McMahon. He might as well dress up as Steve Fuller. Put on an Eric Kramer jersey. This kid, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, the fact that they have turned on Trubisky so badly they would boo an 8-year-old boy for his Halloween costume tells you this is a steep road ahead for Trubisky. And I don't think he's got what it takes. If you've got the entire United Center booing an 8-year-old kid for even thinking about being you for Halloween, you've got a lot of enemies already, my friend. And Trubisky, I don't believe you got what it takes to overcome said enemies. Not Bears. When we come back, we've got your cut line. The stories that did not make the cut, plus your epic fail. Mraz is right now emotionally melting down in advance of his child being born in a little over a month. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
I hate initial guy, like Antonio Brown with the AB. Initial guy stinks.
Kind of like, you know, DA.
Oh.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
40 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. So glad you're with us at a fine Wednesday. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at us, DA on CBS, and think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. This one's from Jim, who's in Indianapolis, and says, DA, with the NBA opening up last night, two games, what surprised you the most? I think the one thing that surprised me more than anything was just how effective Fred VanVleet was. He ends up carrying that momentum from the NBA playoffs, the NBA Finals specifically, into a career-high 34. There's no way VanVleet can be Kawhi Leonard or even fill most of the void of Kawhi leaving. But he has a 34-point, 7-assist game. If you think about this, over the last calendar year, only three other guys had 34 and 7. Harden, Giannis, and Lillard. I mean, how crazy. 5 3-pointers in game 6 of the NBA Finals to clinch. Had 5 3-pointers last night as well. Hit 71% from beyond the arc. The Raptors shot just 27% from three. VanVleet, 71%. Lonzo Ball had 8 points in the game for the Pelicans. VanVleet had 11 in the third quarter alone. I'm not surprised that there was a lot of energy in the building last night for Toronto, of course. Not surprised the Pelicans were competitive. Even without Zion, they've got a good team. Really nice job by the front office to piece together this team of the offseason with the trade of Anthony Davis. Not surprised Kawhi and the Clippers won last night. Not surprised Kawhi was that dominant. Not surprised the Lakers at times looked clunky. I was surprised VanVleet was that effective. Let's get to the stories that did not make the cut. It is time for the cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
We've got some NFL trades before the deadline. The Lions trading their starting safety, Quandre Diggs, to the Seahawks for a 5th rounder. They also sent a 7th rounder there as well, but the Lions basically get a 5th in this upcoming draft. Now, Diggs was their starting safety, and it really developed into something nice for them. He had struggled this year, had some missed tackles, and the Lions just got torched by Ned Flanders on Sunday. But still, the defense was the strength of the Lions, and they're trading away a piece right now, midway through the season. It makes you wonder what's going on in Detroit. Do the Lions believe they're actually out of it? Do the Lions believe that their season's already over? Do they believe they need some type of culture shift or change? That's a little bit of a bizarre moment to look at because they have looked better than they have in recent years, in a long time in the early parts of this season. But in Detroit, you know, I guess it's constantly they're tinkering and to just get a fifth rounder back, just a fifth rounder back for a starting player in the middle of this year, that does not seem like a good idea. And you've got players on the team that are tweeting how upset they are. I mean, Darius Slay said WTF via tweet, and that's some BS right here. Snacks Harrison said, wow, no way via tweet as well. So those guys at the play on the defense watching one of their starting players go in the middle of the season and all you get back is a fifth. You know, I get trading a guy like Mohamed Sanu if you get a two in return. I understand trading Jalen Ramsey if you get two ones. You're going to trade a starter middle of the season and you're only going to get a fifth rounder in return and you expect that locker room to rally? I don't like that move for the Lions.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Meantime, the 49ers make a deal and they trade for former Pro Bowl wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders. They give up a third and a fourth, but they get a fifth in return. So it's kind of like they traded away a third and moved down a round with their other pick. Again, is Emmanuel Sanders worth a third? Is Mohamed Sanu worth a two? I would say I'm a little bit better trading away a three. I think a two is too rich for the Patriots to give up for Sanu. But for the 49ers, here's what I respect. The Niners are undefeated, and they're not resting on their laurels. They're not going, okay, yeah, we're fine. It's all gravy. We're undefeated. We're feeling good, doing well. It's all fine. Instead, they're saying we got to get better, and their wide receivers have been a problem. If anything, their wide receivers have been the one weakness on this team. They've got a great tight end. They've got a quarterback getting it done. They've got a really good ground attack. They've got a great defensive front line. What they don't have is playmakers at wide receiver. Sanders is an upgrade. Don't get me wrong. Emmanuel Sanders, even at this point in his career, is an upgrade. I'm not sure he makes a huge difference long term, but I appreciate John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan not saying we're good, but instead saying we're not good enough. Let's keep pushing to get better every single week because we know that all of this is very delicate.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And the Chicago Cubs are hiring David Ross, the worst secret in sports, as their new manager. We know the Angels wanted to bring back former Cubs manager Joe Maddon, and we knew that the Cubs were excited about bringing in David Ross. It's so weird because the Cubs are a ready-made team to win right now. And forever in baseball, it has been bring in veteran lifers, been around the game, longtime coaches, been on benches to steer the ship. And that's kind of what the Cubs had done with Joe Maddon. And now you're hiring a guy that just was playing a couple of years ago and was in the analyst booth. And this is now the trend where in baseball, because front offices and GMs hold so much control, because the GMs make all the decisions, and because there's not a lot of control by the manager, you can bring in a young former player, have him just execute what the game plan's supposed to be, and not really question anybody. And to a certain degree, I respect the idea of bringing in young guys that can connect to the locker room, connect to the clubhouse. I respect guys that will factor in analytics because I believe that that's a tool to be worth using. I don't like, though, the idea that you just throw any former player in there and expect him to be able to control all the different things that happen in a clubhouse. And you know, when it matters, it's hard to just rely on analytics. And I think too many young managers today just follow the blueprint, follow the TPS report. And for the Cubs, I mean, I know a lot of people have a bunch of respect for David Ross, but are you just bringing in a guy that's popular in that clubhouse? Is that the reason that you're actually hiring him to be your manager? Because that doesn't feel like a great reason. And look, Theo has a lot of wins under his belt, so it's hard to question what Theo does. But it's always just weird that there's these flavors of the week that just are retired and they're in the booth. And it's like, oh, that guy's going to be a great manager. Like, could you imagine hiring somebody in the NFL that just retired 2 years ago to be an NFL head coach?
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And that is your cut line this morning on the show. The Silver Fox tweets, you know, maybe these Bears fans and Blackhawks fans should have let the kid explain why he was going as Trubisky for Halloween. I mean, if I was a Bears fan, Trubisky would scare the hell out of me, too. Sounds like the perfect Halloween costume. Beam me into that mothership, would you, sir? Manny tweets, how about the Bears trade for Josh Rosen? Look, I've defended Rosen many times in my past. But I don't think that Rosen right now is a better solution than Trubisky. And that's a scary thing, but I can't sit here and say, oh, yeah, Bears fans will be fine. That feels like you're going down a scary road again. Falco tweets, DA, please keep playing all of the drops. They are hilarious. Hashtag, how can it happen? Falco, that's one thing you don't ever have to worry about. Drops are ruining our minds, turning them into oatmeal, making us walking, talking robots, just spitting out drops. However, the way that Mraz speaks, the way that Pete the Body Bilotti has magical fingers, the way that this show continually churns out bizarre catchphrases and wacky moments means there will never, ever, ever not be those drops. I mean, they live forever.
Yeah, cataclysmic.
They will live forever.
I'll drop dead. I will drop dead without those burritos. Your mother.
That's very good, Damon.
Cheese balls.
Okay, how long you been on the air, DA?
No, you smell butts.
You are a machine of death.
By golly, Miss Molly.
Come on, Damon. Wake up.
Was done for the day.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Mraz has had a very emotional time for him. I think it's that month for him. October is a tough month. The Yankees have consistently lost in October. The Giants season is routinely over by October. And this October, there's a baby on the way.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Is something happening in your life?
I can't take care of myself, and I'm 2 months out from a baby being born. Is something happening in my life?
So, are you...
I had to fake a conversation with Danielle's stepfather and pretend I knew what a vent cover was on my house the other day, just to act like I knew what he was talking about.
So, are you stress eating?
Probably. There's a lot of stress.
He is broken in half.
So you're having the realization now that we all had when you told us she was having a baby.
I just found out you gotta change 10 to 12 diapers a day for the first 2 months. Are you insane?
Oh, and wait till you see what's in those diapers.
I thought it was like three, like us, you know? You make your business in the morning, at the night, maybe an after lunch.
Is that where our legal department is?
I think so.
Wow.
10 to 12? How am I cut out for this?
You're not.
And have you seen the price of diapers? I don't know what to do here.
So Danielle's going to have 15 diaper changings a day, 12 for the baby and 3 for Mraz.
College poops. I'm falling apart at the seams here.
So this is why you're stress eating.
Of course it is.
So you said the Yankees in the playoffs.
Well, that was part of it. Here they are in tight games. If it's the Astros, I thought we were going to run away with things. I didn't get a World Series. My football season's over. I'm having a baby I don't know how to take care of. I bought a house I don't know how to take care of. What do you want me to do other than the only thing that comforts me, stuffing my face with 44 bags of Utz?
And I love me a big guy that likes a sub.
The other day I drove to the diner without anybody knowing and I got a piece of rainbow cookie cake and sat in a car and ate it.
Oh my
goodness. Yeah, there it is. It's out there.
Next time, just call me.
There.
We can talk
I listened to Tiki and Tyranny and SiriusXM 206.
Now there's a real problem.
There's
a cry for help.
There we go. Wait, say that again for Tiki. That what?
In my gym clothes.
Oh, my God.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
That is so terrifying. that Mraz sat alone in his gym clothes in the car, smashing rainbow cookie cake from the diner just to calm his nerves. This is going to be a really diabolical, combustible, volatile next 2 months. Mraz has to figure out, navigate the holidays, a baby on the way, his new house, and the demons of Halloween, where he has memories of getting pounded with a flower sock and hiding in his basement for years on end. Thanks to Sean Mraz, the tortured Sean Mraz, your executive producer on the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Tomorrow, Super Dave is back for his college football picks. Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership Disconnect.
God. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.